Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Mok. Nice to meet you and welcome to my class. This lecture is for students of Wycliffe University located in USA, California and Africa Theological Seminary in East Africa. As in-person lecture is not a viable position due to COVID-19. It is open to everyone who is interested in leadership. However, credit will be given only to those who submit the required work on time. Before listening to the lecture, please make sure to have our lecture note. I have emailed to you earlier. It is not easy for you to listen the lecture without a lecture note. In addition, you would need to read through the book of Joshua, Nehemiah, as well as the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, to understand and the lecture effectively. Now let's start looking into the leadership of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 teaches us on three elements of spiritual leadership. First, aware of what is being demanded. Let's see verse 4. When I heard these things, when he heard about horrible things that have taken place, he listened to them intently. It is a basic condition for a leader to be aware of what is being demanded. Second, pray to God. After he heard of the problem of his people, he fasted and prayed. I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. In verse 4, we hear the prayer of Nehemiah. Faithful leaders always go to God first with the problem. Leader must put prayer at the highest priority. Third, take responsibility for the problem. In verse 6 and 7, Nehemiah took responsibility for the problem. I confessed the sin we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Next, leader's plan. To go with faith does not mean doing things without plan. When King Artaxerxes granted his request to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah said, "If it please the king, may I have letter to governor of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrived in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of king's forest, so he will give me the timber to make a beam for the gate of the citadel by the temple, and for a city wall, and for the residence I will occupy." He prayed for 4 months and constantly prayed. Without this prayer, he would not have been able to make this detailed and specific request when the king let him go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. During the Civil War, the soldiers are known to have said, "Depend on God, but don't let your power get wet at the same time." Spiritual leaders pray, but plan and calculate the risk. If he didn't plan ahead, you can imagine what would have happened. Next, motivating others. There are two ways. One is through external factor. Another is through internal factors in companies. In companies, if you exceed your sales goal, you will get things like Christmas bonus or Hawaiian vacation ticket. This is the way to reward people using material so that it gives them the reason to apply themselves. Motivating through external factor feed to our materialistic nature. Second, through internal factors. The second way is through internal factors, and that is to plead to human nature. Human nature. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 17 says, "Then I say to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruin, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." In this scripture, we now have to focus on two words, we and us. In order for Nehemiah to motivate the people for rebuilding the walls, he did not promise any materialistic returns for their commitment. He did not make any promises of material reward or vacation for those who worked the hardest, the fastest. But Nehemiah just said, "Look at the trouble we are in. We are in ruins. Don't you see we need to rebuild these walls?" Then the people say, "Let us start the rebuilding." Why did the citizen of a city commit to Nehemiah project? This is because he was able to plead to the passion what the people had inside. Especially, internal motivating people must be considered deeply in Africa. Don't you think so? Okay, next, handling the opposition and the criticism. We must also remember that Nehemiah immediately faced opposition to plan. There always will be some direct or indirect criticism about the plan. When the people started the work, they faced a strong opposition. Verse 19 say, "But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Gesem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you are doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?'" One of the qualified leaders must have is the ability to handle criticism. This is very important thing for the leadership to have. If you are not criticized at all, you cannot do anything. If you do not have opposition to your friend, you also cannot do anything. The opposition never left. They, Sanballat, Tobiah, Gesem, were always around until the war was completed. When it was about halfway done, they cursed and said, in chapter 4, verse 3, Tobiah the Ammonite said, "What they are building, if even a fox climb up on it, he would break down their wall of stones." What did Nehemiah do on this opposition and criticism? There are three important things in his response to criticism. First, he told God about the criticism and prayed like this: "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised." He prayed again to God. Second, he was faithful to his duty. In spite of that, he never wavered in carrying out his duty. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." Work with all their heart. Third, he posted a guard. Posted a guard. What did Nehemiah do when facing continued opposition? As he had always done, he intensified his prayer. Verse 9 says, "But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat." He didn't only prayed again, intensified his prayer, but also posted a guard day and night to meet the opponent threat. You must use your common sense to come up with reasonable countermeasure. Are you afraid someone might come and rob your house? Depend on God, but don't forget to lock your doors. Are you looking for work? Pray, but also prepare your resume and send it to where you want to go work. Have you lost your job? Pray, but don't forget to look for a job as well. Write your resume and go out there, look for a job. Apply to as many positions as possible. The Lord help those who initiate the move. There is no leader who is not criticized at all. Do not pray to avoid criticism, but prepare yourself to fight against disappointment when you face it. Next topic is dealing with disappointment. You can see why Nehemiah was disappointed. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'Strength of laborer is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.'" We can see here that the culprit who disappointed Nehemiah was no one else but the people of Judah. This is a very surprising thing. Not only it came from the people of Judah, verse 12 say us another reason for Nehemiah's disappointment. "Then the Jews who live near them came and told us 10 times over, Whenever you turn, they will attack us. These Jews warned about the threat and continued for more than 10 times. In Genesis chapter 49 shows you a little bit about the people of Judah. They were specially chosen by God, and they were the tribe who praised God. The first disappointment came from the people of Judah. Second disappointment came from Jew. This also is a very significant thing. Nehemiah has planned the rebuilding of Jerusalem city, but his first disappointment came from the people of Judah, and the second disappointment came from the Jews. How do you think on it? I have had experience that one of my best friends betrayed me, and also your close can be your enemy. Do you want to say, "No, no, it would be never happened to me in my life"? Okay, I hope so. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we can learn four causes why he was disappointed. Four causes of Nehemiah disappointment. First, the losing of strength. Verse 10, the people of Judah said, "The strength of labor is giving out." Verse 6 tells us that it's about halfway done. All of it reached half its height. I am sure everyone climbed a mountain once or twice in their lifetime. They look at top and said, "It looks like another hour and a half." 5 hours later, you are just at the halfway and look at how long you have come and let out a sigh. "I didn't know it was this high." Halfway always disappoint us. If you lose your physical strength, you will lose your emotional strength as well. Second, lose of hope. Look at what the people Judah say. "There are so much rubble." Yeah, this leads to the next sentence, their strength is giving out. They have worked so hard for so long, but there is still so much rubble. People are tired, but there is so much left to do. People have lost hope to complete the world. We can lose hope because of rubble we have to go through after working so hard for so long. So, lose of conviction. The biggest cause of disappointment comes from losing your conviction. The laborers were tired and they were emotionally drained. The war are about halfway through, but there still is so much rubble. They let us sight. We cannot rebuild the world. When you lose your strength and hope, the next thing to lose is conviction. When you lose it, feeling of disappointment, desperation attacked us from all angles. The Bible says, they want to do this good work, but they lost that heart. When they lose conviction, they lose heart. In other words, they lose the motivation to achieve. There can be many causes for that, but the feeling of void is always one of them. This is something that is so powerful that we cannot overcome easily. Next, losing sense of stability. Losing sense of stability. Verse 11 says, also our enemies said, before they walk it or see us, we will be right there and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Many Christian leaders have said God used the time of disappointment to give us new direction or plan. We become disappointed by facing unwanted change in our environment, and through that, God is preparing for another future for us. It may sound strange, but disappointment caused by losing what we see is to lead us into an incredible accomplishment. Look at Abraham. He had to leave his hometown, his family, and the house of his father in order to become the source of all blessings. Was there a time when you wanted to get away from it all? Was there a time when you wanted to give it all up? But after experiencing this disappointment, you will be given a chance to do things you can never even dream of. You may be standing at the door of a change of a chance. You know that the change makes chance, like a crisis to be chance. You lose your strength, your hope, your conviction, and your sense of stability. Deep inside of you, you are feeling like, this just isn't happening to me. But wait, you are about to do something that may be the greatest accomplishment of your life. Amen. Then how can we treat disappointment? We see five different treatments he used in the Bible. First, posting by family. There is an important fact here. The laborer were living away from their family to work. So Nehemiah brought those people together by family. Family is the source of all basic courage. His laborer were losing courage. So he said, let's get together by family. He reunited the people by their family. By the way, what is the family? Let me explain something. God created the Garden of Eden. This is a creation that God did his best to create. He needed rest afterward. It was a beautiful place in God's eyes. He gave a beautiful and perfect Eden to Adam. But he was not happy. God knew why, so put Adam to sleep. While Adam was asleep, he took a rib and gave him Eve. Then Adam was overjoyed and made this confession, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This is a confession that we are one body. What is the family? How do you explain on family? You know, I need, but it is not easy to define the family. But also, it is not difficult to come up with a simple definition. Family is more previous than the universe that took God 6 days to create. When Eve wasn't there, Adam was meaningless to Adam. But when he met Eve, Adam became Adam. There was two laws in England that put age limit to become a king and getting married. For a king, it was 18 years of age, but for a marriage, age limit was 20. A prince asked the king, "How do you explain age limit of 18 for someone to become the king and 20 for someone to get married and to become the husband, wife to the family?" The king said, "It is more important and more difficult to become the husband and wife of family than to become the king of country. So the age limit we have now are reasonable." There are another saying in Russia, that is, "It is a dangerous thing for your son to navigate in the ocean, but pray for his son once a day. If there are war in the country and your son is out on the battlefield, it is even more dangerous than for him to go out navigating out in the ocean. So pray for this son twice a day. But if this son get married and has his own family, pray for this son 3 times a day." I can talk a lot more about this, but through the word of God, through the word of truth, from experience, family is that important. It is a foolish thing to neglect your family. When family struggle, your life struggle, your society struggle, your world struggle, and your church struggle. In my church ministry, when my family stable, unstable church become stable church, but my family unstable, stable church become unstable. You understand what I mean? Then let's look at what happened while Nehemiah was reuniting the people by family. He stopped the work after meeting family. The best thing you can do in disappointment is to stop, take a deep breath, and take some time off. There is an ancient Greek saying, "If you keep bending the bow, it will break." When have you relaxed your bow? We always experience some tension when we work. Workaholic can never become great leaders. You must be able to take some break every now and then. Nehemiah stopped the work and said, "Let's get together by trip, by family." Meeting family will have tremendous impact on treating disappointment. Second, put your focus on the road. He put the focus the people back to the road. They were looking at the rubble, but they now need to see the road. Both 14, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brother, your son, and your daughter, your wife, and your home. This is the most basic thing a leader should do. Remember the Lord. Sound good, but how do we actually do that? We can do that by remembering what Lord has done. You can refer Isaiah chapter 26, Philippians chapter 4. Okay, so Nehemiah brought them back together under one common goal. He had to stop the project and let them take a breath. Then he put their focus back on the road. So, keep the balance between faith and action. What did Nehemiah do next to treat the sense of disappointment? He demanded action. Now you should fight. Here are things you must do. Take up your sword. Verse 14 says, fight for your brothers, your son and your daughter, your wife and your home. Verse 17 also says, those who carried the material did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the others. This is the basic element of Christian life, not just that the leaders. Charles Swindoll say, I am tired of Christians who spend all of their time criticizing, complaining, arguing, but I cannot agree with those who say we should never fight. I support the philosophy of balanced life that looked at construction and the struggle equally. Don't be swayed by false teaching that tell you to stand behind and do nothing, as God will do everything. The Bible continues to encourage us to stand firm, fight for your faith, become stronger in your battle, and become a great warrior. But we must also be able to balance our faith and our action. First, set the point of concentration. First thing Nehemiah did was to set the point of concentration. In verse 20, whenever you heard the sound of trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Where was the point of concentration? It was one place. And that was where you hear the sound of the trumpet. Nehemiah said to join together wherever the sound of trumpet is heard. This principle is that don't try to fight the battle by yourself. Don't ever say, I don't need anyone. This is a wrong attitude and does not reflect the spirit of Christianity. If you are a child of God, then you must say, I cannot do this by myself. But, oh God, if you can lead me to brother and sister who can give me support and encouragement through your spirit, I will be with you until the last day of the judgment. Nehemiah said, whenever you hear the sound of trumpet, join us there. This is the point of concentration where there are strength and comfort. Fifth, develop volunteers. Nehemiah's focus was that, look, we need help. I command you to help one another. We cannot do this thing by ourselves. Verse 23 says, Nehemiah, I nor my brother, nor my men, nor the guard with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. When they went to the well to draw out water for baths, they could not lower their guard. When they were in trouble, they helped each other. Nehemiah says, let's not sit around and lick our wound. We are needed and we need others. Let's help one another. Let's serve one another. Disappointment is a disease that starts and ends within. This starts with doubting yourself. Through fear and negative influence, it becomes stronger and larger. Soon, we lose our guidance. We become weak. We run and hide. As we continue doing this, we become someone who is useless and complete failure. We easily lose the battle against those who disappoint us and render us ineffective. We must rise from the disappointment, and the reader must give back hope. Reader must give back hope to those who have been disappointed. Okay? Let's do group discussion and presentation. If possible, make a small group of 5 to 7 after your discussion about what we have covered thus far. The group leader will need to make a 20-minute presentation for their respective groups, while the other student will be required to submit a report for 4 to 5 pages in length, double-spaced, before starting the next lecture. Okay, and the assignment will need to be sent by email. Assignment 1. First, when you were confronted by a problem within your community like Nehemiah did you feel responsible for such and diligently work toward a resolution? Then how? And how did you work toward a problem? Point 2. Do you also make a plan in addition to kneeling down in prayer? Then what plan did you make after prayer recently? What do you do first, pray or plan? Point 3, explain what Nehemiah did to motivate the people working on the rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Point 4, how did you handle opposition and criticism that came your way as you started working on your plan? How did you handle opposition and criticism from those closest to you? How did you handle disappointment came from the aforementioned opposition and criticism? Point 5. What disappointed you the most recently, and what caused it? Is it people or the work itself? Point 6. Did you ever see a sudden change in your environment could turn out to be opportunity for you? Point 7. When you lost hope and fell into despair, did your family help you? If so, what kind? Point 8. What did you do when those who follow you were suffering through disappointment and despair? Were you able to give them hope like Nehemiah did? How did they respond? Okay, each question to be explained within one or two page size. Okay, see you next lecture, next lecture two, after you finished everything, presentation, assignment. Maybe it takes at least 3 or 4 hours to finish. Okay, see you soon. Thank you.